Thank you, Thomas. We're continuing in the Good News series. The title of this morning's message is Anointing. Anointing. It's going to be found, it's actually Matthew, Mark, and John. If you want to turn, John chapter 12 is probably where the majority of it will come from. There's also a brief kind of version similar to this story in the Gospel of Luke. But you look at stories across the four Gospels, some things don't, this and that. So there's theory that the one in Luke is a separate incident, whereas the one in Matthew, Mark, and John would be the same situation. Now, in fairness, and the reason I'm going to do this is that there are some differences between the three of these, all right? So what will happen is when I read the passage, I'm going to read the putting together all three of the tellings of it to give one consistent story as I've done before. So that's what, like I said, John is probably the majority, but there are some differences. One of the first things is John places the event prior to Jesus' triumphal entry, about 6 days before Passover. Matthew and Mark seem to have it after this has happened, during that week leading up to the crucifixion. And again, I say differences, not problems, because there's really no problem. It's only a matter of emphasis. All right, chances are it actually took place prior to the triumphal entry. We know that Jesus was staying in Bethany before he, and it was only a couple of miles away from Jerusalem, so this is where he would stay. He had friends there, things that happened. John is placing emphasis on him because of Lazarus. And so the emphasis of who and what the focus is of the reason for this passage is what dictates where it's placed in the Gospels. All right, and remember, Jewish writing, they're not as concerned about chronology as the rest of us are. All right, when a lot of people, you know, you get up today, you ask me, what did you do today? I'll give you an overview. You ask some people, what did you do today? You will get, okay, it's 7:45. I got up at 7. And you'll get a play-by-play, minute-by-minute ticker, right? All right, so they weren't as concerned about that. As long as the story was there and when they would apply it into Scripture, it would kind of get moved around. It's not a problem. The story is still the same. Number two, an unidentified woman is mentioned in Matthew and Mark. John actually mentions or identifies her as Mary. Okay, again, not an issue because the focus is on the act itself, not who performed it. Now, Mary was a common name back then. Now, based on John, you would assume it was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' sister. But it could just been another Mary. There were several of them wandering around, we know, in Jesus' group. John doesn't identify it necessarily. Now, again, context, which we talked about in Sunday school this morning with the youth and studying the Word, kind of points you that direction. But again, it's the act. It's not in and of itself who performed the act is what is important. One of the third differences is Simon's house and a couple of the or in one of the Gospels. This really isn't a difference because John never says the dinner is at Lazarus' house. It just says Lazarus was there and Martha was helping serve it. Small community. You know how it is, friends and family, right? You get up and you jump up. You have a special dinner guest. You may jump up and help somebody serve. Maybe not in the South because you don't go in another woman's kitchen without being invited, but you never know. All right, so, but that's what would happen. And so it wouldn't be a problem for somebody else to jump in. They were very hospitable back then. One would help serve, so it's not a big deal. Finally, the fourth difference is two of them show anointing of the head versus anointing of the feet. Again, emphasis explains this as well. Matthew and Mark were emphasizing anointing of a king, and John is setting up Jesus' lesson of servanthood as he's about to wash the disciples' feet and instruct them to do the same thing. There are more similarities, and we'll talk a little bit more about this head and foot thing here in a minute, but there are more similarities than there are differences, thus tying the truth of the narrative together. So let's take a look at it. All right, it should be on the, as typed in, it should be written on the screen. Here's what it reads. Then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, there they made him a supper and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, he sat at the table. A woman, or Mary, came, having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Then Mary took a pound of the very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted?" But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the reading of your scripture this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you open our hearts and minds, teach us, have us to receive what it is we need to receive, and have it apply it as we need to apply it in our lives. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Now, you can get several things out of this. One, we know there's a flask of oil. It's very expensive oil. 300 denarii would have been about almost a year's worth of money. That's a lot of money. I don't know about y'all. I bought perfume, used to, for my mom, and you know, it was never that much money, was it? It was like that $2 stuff mom would sprinkle on it, it burns, kind of, and you could smell her all the way across the house, you know? So, Dad got Old Spice every year, Old Spice, soap on a rope and Old Spice, that was his thing, you know? And so, I would never spend that much, I don't think, I would never spend that much on perfume. A year, can you imagine? If you just took even the lower of the averages of, say, $30,000 this year and spent on perfume, that'd be a lot to smell good, wouldn't it? You can get a bar of Dial soap for $1.25 and do pretty much the same thing. Or Irish Spring, either way, whatever. That's a lot of money. But, see, now back then it would have been something that was very valuable. Chances are, being the female, it was part of her dowry as well. This would have been something she would have saved for very special occasions, like her honeymoon. That would have been a big investment to have this oil. But yes, she brought it to Jesus. Now, I think there's several things that we can take out of here. The first thing I think we can look at this morning, and I hope we can take away from this, is number one, pour out your devotion to Jesus completely and hold nothing back. Let me say that again. Pour out your devotion to Jesus completely and hold nothing back. She broke the flask and poured it out. Imagine. You have a bottle of Brother Tiny's cane syrup. Amen. And a big old plate of biscuits, right? Yeah. You were so excited. You can't get the top off fast enough. You can't. It's glued on. You know how the sugar gets, right? It's glued in there. But you're going to have your biscuits and syrup. What do? Crack that neck. Make sure there's no glass in it. Pour. Because you're not going to save it. You got a whole plate of biscuits with syrup. You just dumped a whole bottle. Now, normally we wouldn't do that, right? I don't know. Brother Donald might. You like your biscuits, right? No, I wouldn't break the glass either. But this is basically what she's done. She has broken the flask open. She didn't just take the top off. She didn't just drip a little bit. She broke the neck and poured it all out. She held nothing back. This wasn't cheap. Now, would it have been a moving and emotional story to have her come in, take the oil, drip some on the head of Jesus, drip some on the feet, put the top back on, and yes, it would have, wouldn't it? It would have still been amazing that she would have spent some of this oil. But if you look, the apostles get upset because she didn't do that. She gave every drop of what she had. We need to do the same thing. We need to pour our devotion completely to Jesus. And see, that's what this is. This was a pure act of love and an act of devotion to Jesus and what was coming up in his life. See, we don't know how long we have until Jesus returns or we go to meet him. There's no need to pace ourselves when it comes to our worshiping, serving, and following Jesus. Let me say that again. There's no need to pace ourselves when it comes to worshiping, serving, and following Jesus. What are we waiting for? Why hold it back? Well, I'm just going to give a little bit right now to God, because you know what? I got another 20, 30, 40, 40. Oh, God help me. I got another 20, 30 years. I can't give all right now to my ministry. So I have to ease into it. I have to pace myself. Let's face it, when 20 years ago, that was a lot easier to say, I don't have to pace myself. I can go, go, go. And I could. I remember as a teenager, getting up in the morning. The rest of the day was a blur. I remember passing out somewhere at night. I didn't stop all day long. Let's play football. All right, we'll meet at the school. What time? 9 o'clock? Sounds good. When did we stop? 6, 7 o'clock that night. Do you know what would happen if I went out at 9 o'clock in the morning and played football for 5 minutes right now? Yeah, amen. I hope not dead, dead, but yeah, pretty close. Tried with the youth one time. I'm like, yeah, I can still keep up with the youth. I ran down the field one time. I went, nah, I'll be over here. Y'all, permanent quarterback, I'll just stand here and throw the ball. No problem. I don't want to run. Told you I tried playing basketball. I used to think I was good at basketball. Things you used to could do when you were, I thought I could. But see, you know what? I still got more years, right? There's no need for me to pace myself when it comes to ministry, when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What am I holding back? Do you think I'm going to reach everybody in the world and that I need to save a few people for somebody else? No, I need everybody that I come in contact with, I should be sharing the gospel with them in some way, shape, or form. When it comes to worshiping, why be reserved? We're worshiping God. You know what it's going to be like when we get to heaven? We are going to worship God. I mean, you like to think, all right, the minute Jesus walks up to you, I don't know if it's at the gate, at the palace, wherever it is, whenever Jesus comes up to greet you, you'd like to think you go, Jesus. No, I have a feeling the only thing you're going to do is hit the floor on your face and just fall before him, weeping, because you're standing before the Son of God. We're going to stand in the presence of God Almighty for all eternity. There's no need to hold back our worship. You get in here and sing on Sunday morning, sing. You hit a wrong note, who cares? You're giving it to God. Does God want our perfection? No, God just wants us, doesn't he? God just wants us as we are. And I think back to one of the college students, and I'm not going to mention her name. She loved to sing, worship, and I think I've told you all this. But she loved to worship God. Could not carry a tune in a bucket. But she carried that tune, that bad one, the wrong one, the top of her lungs. You could be standing in a stadium full of 30,000 people, and you could hear her. Partially because it was so off key that you could just tell the, she just loved to worship. It didn't matter. And that's almost one I almost think of, you know, when scripture says, you know, man, you're more cursed, it'd be better to put a millstone around your neck than to stop one of these from, you know what I mean? That if you tried to stop that person from worshiping, you know, look, you don't sing so well, maybe you shouldn't sing. I'm just worshiping Jesus, but you're not doing it good. Heaven help the person who tries to do that to somebody. We should encourage it. You can't sing? Go ahead, sing as loud as you want to Jesus. Jesus loves our imperfection, doesn't he? He just wants our truth. He wants us full and wholeheartedly. Remember, we don't need to pace ourselves Philippians 4:19 says that he shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, right? He shall supply how many of our needs? A couple of them? All our needs. God has us. There's no need to pace ourselves. Hold nothing back. Pour it out. And that's the other thing with Jesus. I love the... We used to go there more often, but now that we're eating healthy, we haven't been in a while. But Red Robin, man, he used to have this bottomless basket of French fries. I never found bottom. You know, that's how it is with God, though. God is bottomless. You can't outgive God. I can pour it out, pour it out, pour it, and God just keeps filling me up, filling me up, filling me up. Number two. Our complete act of love reaches further than we think. Our complete act of love reaches further than we think. Now, I said how a couple of them said that she anointed his head. One says she anointed his feet. Well, what did Jesus say? She anointed his body. Now, often when you read where one says the head, one says the feet, Scripture means also everything in between. I don't think this sister just came in and poured a couple of drops on Jesus' head and on his feet. I think Jesus is sitting there reclining at the table. Now, remember, they reclined back in the day. The table was low to the ground. They'd have pillows. They would sit like this at the table, legs kicked out behind them, feet out. I don't know how you eat like that, but they did. Actually, I used to could do it as a kid watching TV, laying on the floor watching TV, kicked out, just eating, you know. I can't do it now. Oh, yeah, it's just bad, right? But she came in, she broke that bottle, and she probably just doused Jesus. I mean, just poured it all over him. I'm surprised she got past the bodyguards, I mean disciples. She actually anointed his whole body. Can you imagine sitting there after dinner, the next thing you know, you're dripping with oil or perfume? We already know she didn't hold it back. And it was probably a pretty big bottle of perfume. It weren't just one of them little samplers you get. She anointed the whole body. It was a complete act of anointing. Now remember, there's some setting up of Jesus' burial here, right? When you have a dead person, back then they would anoint with spices and oils and fragrances to kind of help prevent the body from smelling so bad until things could be sealed up and locked away. And you didn't just put it on part of them. You had to cover the whole body. So this is what she would have done. And it says the house was filled with the smell. See, this one act touched a wider area than the person the perfume was poured on. We've probably all been there, right? You've passed that person in the grocery store that stood a little too close to the perfume bottle or the spray stuff, right? You're just walking by and you're like, whoo! You smell it. And there's some that are distinct. You've got a distinct smell to them. It filled the house. Anybody ever accidentally broke their bottle of vanilla extract in their house? That stuff's strong, isn't it? You can smell it all over the kitchen. To get it cleaned up. See, when we act in a complete and selfless way, we have no idea how far-reaching that act will be. See, she covered him completely. And it wasn't just Jesus who was anointed. The whole house became blessed with the fragrance of this perfume. Now, I'm guessing what happens is normally the cheaper the perfume, the stinkier. Chances are, this being an expensive perfume, it probably smelled very good around the house. The whole house would have been filled with this fragrance. Think about the student at summer camp who was so moved that she took all her spending money for the week on the very first night of camp, threw it in the offering plate to send to the missionaries. She couldn't even afford food on the trip home because she gave all her money. But what she didn't know is that that gift took the gospel to some tribe in South America where the chief heard it, and over 100 people got saved because of that one gift. What didn't seem like a whole bunch, when given, God took and used. It was complete. Could this girl have made change in the offering plate? Because she had taken her $20 bill and went, well, I just want to give five, but okay, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. You think God would have went, oh, wait a minute. No. She's still giving, right? I mean, $5 out of 20, that's 25%. Did I do that math right? 25%. That's a big gift. Especially for a teenager that doesn't have any money of their own. Instead, she, I got to do something here. Take it. Couldn't get ice cream or snacks or anything else with everybody else. But you know what happened? Actually, people were nice to her and bought her stuff all week long anyway. She probably ate better during the week than she would have if she used her own money. See, that's how God works sometimes. That blessing. But you don't know. You don't know the people you come in contact with. When you give completely, when you give selflessly, when you act according to the gospel, when you act accordingly to what Jesus calls us to, we have no idea where the reach is. We have no idea the lives we impact. You impact a life out here in Alachua, who knows? They go to school with a student at Santa Fe or the college, or maybe they go with another student at UF. They receive Jesus. They're talking to the friend at UF who receives Jesus, who goes back to Afghanistan and begins to share the gospel. And others become, we just have no idea. Number three, be careful. Be careful of the motives and the focus of your actions. Now see, Judas was not the only one who expressed concern over the waste of such an expensive gift. However, his motives were not pure. Now I don't know the motives of the other ones who got upset. Lord, that's a lot of money we could give to the poor. Legitimate statement, right? 300 denarii, almost a year's wage. We could do a lot of good with that, couldn't we? Instead of just pouring it on Jesus, we could do a lot. Again, this kind of still proves that disciples don't quite fully understand who Jesus is at this point. Because I think if you have given it all to God anyway, God's going to do way more than you could if you'd have sold the perfume and tried to use the money. But John's very clearly saying, look, Judas, not a nice guy. And this just wasn't a one-time thing with Judas. Judas didn't all of a sudden just get up at that last meal and go, you know what, I think I'm going to go betray Jesus. Judas was not a good guy from the get-go. He stole money. He stole church money. There's got to be a special place in hell for, right? Taking money out of God's hand. Now, Jesus is not saying that we should not take care of the poor. You know, a lot of people take this passage and go, well, Jesus said we should worship him and we should spend all our money on our building and all this other stuff because the poor are always going to be here. Jesus said we don't have to. That's not at all what he said. He's actually quoting an Old Testament scripture that says the poor will be with you always. And then continues on to say you need to take care of the poor, minister to them. What Jesus is saying is this one time, this one instance is setting up something that you don't know about. It's bigger than the current moment. You're going to have the poor. There's going to be more opportunities. What I'm about to do is actually going to help the poor more than any money you could give to them will anyway. Because what do people really need? Do people really need money? Do people really need food and shelter? What is the number one need of every human being on this planet? Jesus. Period, end of story. If you don't know Jesus, everyone needs Jesus. That is because it doesn't matter. Because if you die without Jesus, it's hopeless. First and foremost, everybody needs Jesus, but that does not mean we don't help them with the other things, with the food, the shelter, the clothing. Especially when you think last week, didn't we actually just talk about this? He says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in prison, when I was naked, you clothed me. And they said, when did we do it? When you did it to the least of these. In other words, Jesus says, when you do this to the poor, when you meet the needs, when you reach and minister to the world, you're doing it to me. So Jesus isn't talking out of both sides of his face here. He's not saying, ignore the poor on one hand, but on the other, treat the poor well because you're doing it to me. He's saying, take care of the poor. You're going to have other opportunities. But be careful of your motives. What are the motives? Are our motives for reaching and ministering to people solely to grow the number of people in the church, solely to get the bank accounts up in the church budget? I hope not. Will those things happen? Lord willing, yes. God knows what we need, doesn't he? God's got a plan for all of that. But who should our focus be on at all the point in time? Should be on Jesus. And there's many, many churches that get so caught up in the social justice, the social gospel, they're missing the actual gospel. Because it is about reaching people, meeting that most basic need of, do you have Jesus as your Savior? If you don't, let's fix that. And we can talk about it while I buy you a sandwich and you eat. That's not a problem. Number four, let's encourage others in their devotion to Jesus. You know, it's always easy to look at others and find fault in what they're doing, isn't it? Well, I wouldn't do it that way. Well, what made it? Why would? That's just silly. We all do it. Yes, even me. I admit it. I repent. I look at other churches. Well, why are they doing that? That's just, wait a minute. It's easier to look at others and find fault. We almost never see it in ourselves, though, do we? No. Well, you let me, well, look at you. Well, wait a minute. Usually it takes a loving brother or sister to point out our own faults, doesn't it? We may think we have a better idea for how to do something, but thinking we have a better idea doesn't make it a better idea, does it? It's just an idea. We need to encourage one another, lift each other up. And we need to be careful how we do it. Because we've all done this passive-aggressive thing too. Well, yeah, brother, go ahead and do it. Although I wouldn't do it that way. Wait a minute. Is that encouraging? You know what, sister? I love what you got. I love that thought. Is there anything I can do to help you? I know I can pray for you, and I'm going to do that for sure. Is there anything else I can do? Well, yeah. What is it? All right, well, let's do that. What happens if it fails? Wasn't meant to be, was it? What did you lose? A little bit of time, a little bit of money, maybe? Now, that's not to say that there aren't some things that are not biblical, all right, that people will come up with. We should take our church tithe and go play the lottery every week. No. Well, that's not biblical. It's not what God says to do with it. That's one place where we're not going to encourage each other. There's to be truth in that one. Our actions in the name of Jesus are very personal. Our actions. Guess who's the judge of those? God. Shouldn't be each other. What this woman did when she came, she took something very valuable to her. Something that, again, could be part of her dowry. Part of that gift that is supposed to help her get a husband of good standing. Instead, she took all of that and says, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I am pouring this out on him. She didn't come into the room and go, look, disciples, I'm better than you. I'm breaking. I'm spending this. Y'all have done nothing. Did she? She came in, did what she was supposed to do for her to worship God. For her to show her love and devotion to Jesus. And did Jesus receive it? Absolutely. He says every time this story is told, she is going to get credit for this. It's going to be part of the story. And here it is. Three of the four Gospels for sure. Maybe the fourth. And we didn't even talk about the hair thing. That is just something a woman would not do in Jewish times. Was to be to let down her hair, especially in the company of men. Now, again, different times, it would have been mostly men around the table. The women were probably hanging out in the room too, listening and doing. But it's such a sign of humility. And more importantly, where did she use her hair? On his feet. Probably the worst part of the human body back then. The part that was the dirtiest, the most unclean. Our actions are personal. We need to encourage others. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. God, we thank you for this woman's example in Scripture, that we can look at it, that we can see that she held what she had that was probably the most precious thing to her at that time, that she just poured it out for you. God, what are we holding back? Holy Spirit, show us what in our lives are we holding on to? God, I pray that we would just break them loose, pour them out, and give them to you. Jesus, we thank you that this is setting the stage for your coming crucifixion, your burial, and even greater, your resurrection. Because in your death, burial, and resurrection, we have life. Father God, I pray you forgive us our sins, that we would be willing to confess them, speak to them, speak to us, show us where we fall. Holy Spirit, just speak to our hearts this morning, as only you can. Jesus, is in your name we pray. Amen.